Community creates immunity because we're all so focused on our immune systems coming out of the pandemic, but that creates disharmony in our body is fear and stress. And having love and community and feeling a part of something, that is actually going to help your immunity.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power and in their authenticity and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And my fellow ecstatics, you know, one of the topics that I've been talking a lot about right now, because it's a hot topic, is the topic of abundance. And we're really being asked, from my perspective, we're really being asked right now to shift our ideals, to shift our perspectives, and to shift our beliefs around what is abundance for us. So today we're going to dive in to this topic with our wonderful guest, Rebecca Whitman, who is a success mentor. She's also a graduate with honors from Princeton University, and she's an international best-selling author of three books, The Phenomenal Feminine Entrepreneur, Business Life Universe, and How to Make Six-Figure Income. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Alara. It's great to be here. And we have matching hair. So if you're not, we have the same curl pattern. Yes. It's awesome.
We were talking about that pre-show. So are you feeling, Rebecca, that right now this topic of abundance, not only, you know, with regards to the economy per se, but more in really what's occurring in our consciousness and the evolution of humanity, do you really feel that it's up right now?
I do, especially with the new year and people are wanting to experience more abundance, not just financially, but in all areas of life.
Yes, which is always so important to understand. So how do you define abundance, Rebecca?
I define abundance as having more than enough. More than enough health, more than enough love, more than enough money, more than enough friends, more than enough emotional peace. So we'll discuss my different pillars, which I divide life into seven key areas, which I call the seven pillars of abundance. But it's just a feeling of overflow of more than enough.
Yeah. And it's, I love the word overflow, right? Because it's all about energy and the flow, the movement of energy. So that word overflow implies flow, right? Which is not stagnation, which is not holding on to, hoarding. Which I've really understood as, you know, can really restrict the flow and restrict the flow of abundance in various different circumstances. Attachment, right? Our attachment to things, our unwillingness to allow that flow to move through us. So let's go over these seven pillars that you have. Let's dive into that because I know we're going to have a big, juicy conversation for that.
Yeah. So the seven pillars of abundance are spirituality, fitness, emotions, romance, mental, social, and financial. And they are in order of importance. So people think abundance is financial and they think I'll make a ton of money and then I'll have enough money to hire a personal trainer. So I'll get really fit. I'll look hot. I'll attract my soulmate. We'll go on spiritual retreats and we'll socialize with other spiritual enlightened couples and we'll have a great life. But in my experience, having the spirituality is the grounding thing, is the foundation of everything, the connection to the divine. Then after that, it's having physical health, because if you don't have physical health, none of the other things matter. Then it's emotional, being at peace. You can have all the money in the world, and if you're angry and upset all the time, what good is it? So emotions are next. Then after emotions, it's romance. You could have financial abundance, and if you're fighting and in a toxic relationship, it's still not a happy life. Then after romance, it's mindset, which is listening to amazing podcasts like the Ecstatic Woman Show and doing our mindset work, or it could just mean growing your mind, like learning a new language, learning a new skill, learning a new recipe. And then after mental, it's social, having a community that is positive, affirming, that lifts you up, and people in the community have accomplished what you want. So you're inspired by this community. And then finally, financial. Money is the last piece of the puzzle to click into place. And this is really shocking for a lot of people. So in my teaching, it's be, do, have, not have, do, be. Be happy, do the things that fill me up, and then I'll have money. Not have money, then I'll do the things that I need to do, and then I'll be happy. So it's kind of the reverse paradigm of what most people think of as abundance.
Yeah, it's interesting, because what comes up is, you know, I don't watch a lot of television, but one of the things I do watch is Love is Blind. Have you ever seen that reality TV show?
I have not.
It's so good, because comes on Netflix. And so they meet in what's called these pods. They don't ever see each other. And they decide who they want to marry through an emotional connection versus a physical attraction. And it's really, really good. I just love the depth of the conversations and then what happens after they see each other and everything that kind of unravels through that. But it's interesting, because a lot of times people will say, well, I wanted to make sure that I got my career and I was financially stable and all of these things before I set out to meet the love of my life. And that's always struck me as interesting, because I've thought, well, I guess that's one way to do it. You know, I'm not going to call it right or wrong, good or bad, but it's intriguing to me, because what if that's not how it's supposed to happen? You know, I've had so much powerful resolution and expansion through my partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one of the courses I teach is the 7 steps to manifest your soulmate in midlife. And one of the steps is you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You don't need to lose 5 pounds, balance your checkbook, get a nicer apartment, you know, move cities. Like you can manifest your soulmate right now, exactly as you are. And the same is true with any manifestation. Like, you don't need to do anything else. It's an inside job.
Yeah, and I think what the people are talking about on the reality TV show is they feel like they have to have, you know, their ducks in a row before they want to bring that into their life. But I often find that sometimes then what happens if they lose their job or something of those quote unquote ducks in a row, you know, falls apart? Are they going to feel like they're worthy enough for their partner, right? Or that they're everything that they, you know, quote unquote needed to be before they met their partner? And so sometimes I find that when we create these situations that have to occur, that's an attachment. Right. And to me, attachment doesn't allow for flow. What has been your experience with that?
I think flow is the goal, right? It's we're either in or out of the flow. And if we are in attachment and resistance and unforgiveness and judgment, we are out of the flow. We're out of the ease and the glory of how life can be. And we can feel it when we are out of the flow. Life feels hard. It feels like we're just pushing a boulder up a hill. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in hard work, because I do believe in hard work. I don't think that you become, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 figure money earner by just sitting home and meditating all day. You do get to take action. But you can also have fun. You can also be playful in the action. You can also decide to have a joyous day one day at a time. And that is being in flow and surrender. You know, one of my words for 2024 surrender is a non-attachment to how everything's supposed to look, how the circumstances are.
Yes, that's interesting. I've heard a lot of people say that either 2024 was surrender or 2023 was surrender was the word for them. So it's so important because that is, I feel like, what creates the flow. And absolutely, we have to take action because nothing's going to happen just sitting in one spot or not taking that action that really requires us to show up in our courage, right? And expand our field and bring ourselves into spaces that are uncomfortable because that's where we need to be in order to up-level our game, right? I love that emotions are your second pillar. Tell us a little bit about that and why that is your second pillar.
It's actually the third. So first is spirituality, then health or fitness. And then
You're right. Yes. Okay. So that the third. Thank you for clarifying.
Emotions are really important when it comes to abundance because all emotions come from either fear or love or scarcity or abundance. So when we're in scarcity, there's not enough conversation. It could be something that I've been working on the last couple of years of I don't have enough time, which is overwhelm, right? Not enough of anything. I don't have enough energy. I'm tired all the time. More obvious is there's not enough single people that I like. There's not enough money. There's not enough good jobs. There's not enough likes or comments or downloads on social media. Whatever the conversation is, if it's not enough, it's scarcity, which is based on fear versus an abundance. So that goes to the first question you asked. There's more than enough single people for me to fall in love. I have more than enough energy to do everything I need to do today. I have more than enough time to do what's important to me to do today. There's more than enough likes and loves on social media. So whatever it is that we want, knowing there's more than enough. And I like thinking of a beach. We don't go to a beach and we see someone with like a tent or a huge beach blanket. And we're like, oh, that person's taking all the sand. They have a huge blanket under a huge tent. There's no sand left for me. It's like, no, they do have a big tent with a big blanket, but that's okay because there's still a huge beach here. There's more than enough sand for me too. And it's just that feeling of expansion and there's more than enough. And I think that is directly against how our brains are wired. So we have a limbic system, which is our reptilian brain, which is fight or flight. And it is wired for there's not enough. And we have to be in survival and fight for every morsel of everything. But we're not being chased by a dinosaur or a saber-toothed tiger anymore. We're in the land of plenty and there is more than enough right now, at least in our neck of the woods. There are, you know, parts of the world that are struggling and my prayers go out to them, but there is more than enough for most of the people that are listening to this.
Yeah. Rebecca, you're based in LA. So those beaches are really, really big. Big beaches. Yes. And so what would you recommend when somebody's feeling like they're noticing that they're in scarcity, right? I think scarcity time is huge for people. And then absolutely like, oh, I'm not getting enough attention or enough likes or enough, you know, whatever it is, each person is unique and individual. And so I always recommend people like, what is that scarcity for you? Which it can change, but we have kind of our common ones that kind of are unique to us, right? What do you recommend for somebody if they're like, okay, I'm in that scarcity mindset, I'm feeling those emotions of scarcity, what do you recommend for them to shift out of that?
I teach something called the four A's. So the first A is the awareness. Okay, I'm in a scarcity conversation. I'm thinking there's not enough of whatever it is I want. So that's the first A, awareness. The second A is acceptance. So don't judge yourself and be like, oh my God, I've been listening to the Ecstatic Woman podcast every day for a year. I know better. I should not be in this not enoughness. Like, what am I doing? Like, don't beat yourself up. Acceptance. Okay. This is part of being human. It's okay. I'm in not enoughness. So the second A is acceptance. The next A is action. What can I do to get out of this? You know, can I take a walk? Can I send an email? Can I respond to a comment on social media? Can I do some yoga stretches or you know, light a candle and say a prayer. Like, what action can I take? And then the final A is for an affirmation. So whatever affirmation would be the opposite. So a general one that really works for me when I get into not enoughness is, I am enough. I have enough. I am willing to set myself free. I say those affirmations and then I ask myself, okay, what can I do next? Like, what is my next step, my next indicated action to get out of this? So those four A's really help with getting rerouted when you get into scarcity thinking.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. Awareness is so powerful because as soon as we start to become aware of something, we have the opportunity to shift it, right? The opportunity to change it. And I always find with scarcity or lack mindset, it's really powerful also to like focus on, okay, maybe right now I'm feeling like I don't have enough of this. What do I feel like I have enough of, right? Because abundance is. And so sometimes when we say, okay, I don't feel like I have enough time, but wow, like I do have a lot of clients in my calendar, right? Or I have a lot of really beautiful creations that I'm creating that are taking up all my time, right? Right? Like we focus on what we do have a lot of, it really allows that flow of that abundance to come through and spread into the other aspects of our reality. So that's that works really, really well also. So okay, so three is emotion, and then remind me, what was number four?
Romance. And romance after emotion, because if you're low vibe and negative, like I used to be, I had a really challenging love life for years. I had many, many dysfunctional, toxic relationships. So I became negative, cynical, jaded, and skeptical and resistant to meeting my soulmate. And oh, lo and behold, I met people, guys who were the same way. They were negative, jaded, cynical, and resistant. So it was an exact match. So you attract who you are, not who you want, which is so important to get your spirituality, your health, and your emotions right. Get them high vibe. Come from love and abundance before you go into the dating pool. So you attract someone who is also high vibe and all about love and abundance.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, our relationships are so powerful. They're such powerful reflectors. Yeah. So I find that particularly, I mean, it can be with any relationship, right? Especially the close relationships, like colleagues and those kinds of things. I'm not in corporate, but I work with a lot of clients who are in corporate. And man, they get a lot of really good reflections from their colleagues, right? But those really close, intimate relationships, your love affairs, right? Your romantic partners or your really close friends. And of course, our families, they provide such a reflection for us that then we get to be given that gift and we can either just say, oh, screw them, they're this, or they see me this way, or whatever it is, you know, and blame, or we can receive that and see what do we want to do with it and how can we change it. And I feel like for abundance, you know, one of the most beautiful things, particularly for women, and this is talked about a lot, but it needs to continue to be talked about, is the ability to receive, right? Yeah. To receive compliments, to receive touch, particularly when sometimes we're in our masculine, we're not like in that feminine, oh yeah, like just bring it on. I want to be touched. I want to be pleasured. I find that I oftentimes have to just be like, okay, I'm just going to breathe into my body. And my partner knows me so well. He knows exactly like how to like bring me back around, right? So it's like, oh, now I'm available to receive. I was all up in my head, still like, do. So like he's this beautiful reflection of like, oh, yes, yes, yes. Let me drop into that space and receive from you.
Yeah, I really teach a lot about the masculine and the feminine. And romance is so important if you desire to be the feminine energy. And I have no judgment. It doesn't mean that you're gay, straight, lesbian, bi, you know, fluid. Absolutely. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's an energy. So when you're in the feminine, you are in the receiving mode and you are in your body, you're into your sensuality, your five senses, and you are lovable because you exist. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to win. when you're in the masculine, you are in giving mode. You are competing, controlling, conquering. You are giving, protecting, and cherishing the feminine. And women these days are often in their masculine. So how do you transition if you desire to be in the feminine in your relationship? Like, do you draw a bubble bath? Do you give yourself like a 10-minute meditation? Do you take 3 mindful breaths and say, okay, I'm going back into my feminine? Because it is, when in the workforce and in the entrepreneurial world, everyone is in their masculine. Everyone is taking massive action. But when it comes to relationship, if you want to have good sex, you need that polarity. And when, not just good sex, but a harmonious relationship. Otherwise, you're either competing for the leadership in the relationship, or everybody's just passive. Like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? It's like, somebody's got to be the leader and the follower if you want to have a dance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I believe it also is a part of learning to receive in different ways. Like, the feminine is that receptive and learning how to receive differently and deeper. And I really believe that, you know, regardless of your sexual identity, we're meant to move through the Trinity, right? The feminine, the masculine, and the child, and play all parts, right? But absolutely, for the majority of women, recognizing that feminine side of themselves, it's not femininity, it's the feminine polarity. And, you know, opening up and receiving, and, you know, even things like compliments or gestures, right? If somebody's giving you a compliment or trying to do something for you, if you're always pushing that away, what else are you pushing away, you know, that the universe is attempting to bring to you? So I feel like that's been my lesson with the feminine. And I feel like it's a really beautiful thing to constantly be kind of like leaning into and feeling into. And my man is my reflector of that. So what was the next pillar in
the
order? Because I remember them.
Is mental.
Okay. So tell us about that one.
So our mind is something that we can constantly grow and expand up until our last minute of this incarnation. We can be learning, we can be growing, we can be seeking wisdom. And many people don't continue to grow their mind after their formal education ends. Only 5% of people are really into a growth mindset. So when their formal education ends, whether it's undergrad or graduate school, they just stop seeking knowledge and practice their profession. So having that growth mindset, and I love being a seeker. I believe that the divine is speaking to me all day long through songs, through overheard conversations, through things that I observe. And I'm waiting to see, okay, what is that little bit of wisdom that's going to get me to my next step of growth, development, and unfoldment? So you can take a class, you could learn a new language, you could learn a skill, you can, you know, go on a trip. Travel is, I know you said you're nomadic. Travel is a great way to grow your mind, because we can learn so much from people in different cultures and how they approach life so differently than we do. Just podcasts, like I said, like this podcast. I also have one called The Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. YouTube videos, live seminars. There's so many ways that we can continue to expand and grow our mind and just be constant learners.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, right, like the ways in which we can interact and engage with information is just incredible, right? It used to be just the library, and now we have all these ways that we can access. I have always been a lifelong learner. I'm just, honestly, I just love it so much. I get bored if I'm not learning something. Oh, there's your puppy in the background. And so, just to say very clearly, in your opinion, how does the expanding the mind and the evolution of our minds really directly affect our abundance?
It affects it a lot, because my mission is to take women from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And when we're feeling burned out, which is, in my opinion, the opposite of abundance, is we're just not willing to learn. We can't learn. We're too tired. We don't have the mental bandwidth to even want to learn. We're like treading water energetically. And we're not we just don't have the bandwidth, even if we want to learn. Because I think of times when I have felt burnt out. It's like I can just barely get through my day, let alone like learn something. So the goal is not to be burned out, but to fill ourselves up. And I believe that we do that through self-care, through rest, so that we can have the energy and the excitement around learning. And when we're learning, it helps our abundance in so many ways, because that excitement, that passion, that fuel for life is like, it's so magnetic. It's so, you're just on fire for life. So if you learn something that really lights you up, people are going to just see that light in your eyes and that magnetism in your being, and they're going to be attracted to you.
I love how you say that, because it also doesn't have to relate to wherever you're trying to create magnetism, right? So just because it's really easy to say this, like if you have a business or even in your career, right? If you're trying to create more magnetism there, you could do something completely unrelated that's going to light you up, because that's going to come into those other aspects, right? And increase that magnetism. So I love that, because learning can be, it can absolutely be something that is correlating to something in our life, or it could just be really random, just really something that lights us up and we feel called to. And the other side of that for me is, you know, when we are bringing in information, there's really actually absolutely nothing that's completely newly created. It's all basically recycled information. And when we understand this, what happens is we pull in information, particularly new information for us, our mind pulls from it and our imagination really increases. So our ability to create new ideas, our visionary capacity, our imagination, all of these things, even our ability to problem solve increases. Again, it doesn't have to be, you know, that you're studying something to do with problem solving. You could be studying art, and that can increase your problem solving capability. So it really expands our imagination, which pulls in new visions, new concepts, new creative capacities.
Yeah, it doesn't have, what you're learning doesn't have to correlate with where you're trying to manifest abundance. It's just feeding your soul, and that makes you more magnetic.
Yeah, so beautiful. Okay, and what was the next one?
Community or social. So having a group, and we're in an epidemic of loneliness. We're in a high-tech, low-touch society where people are hiding behind their computers and their phones. And even though we're connected globally on the World Wide Web, people are feeling lonely right now. There's an epidemic of suicide and loneliness and isolation. So I encourage people to find communities in person if you can, and be around people, feel the energy. It could be church, temple, yoga class, ecstatic dance, meditation class, wherever you find like-minded people. It could be the dog park, just people who love their dogs and want to go to the dog park. It could be a sport, whatever you can do to find community so that you can spend time with people. And if you do have a community that inspires you, that is really the goal, to find a community where people who have achieved what you want, that are lifting you up, and also a community where you can turn around and mentor someone that is not as far as you are along your path. So this is these are all aspects. And I like to say that community is the answer to immunity. Community creates immunity, because we're also focused on our immune systems coming out of the pandemic. But the number one thing that creates disharmony in our body is fear and stress. And having love and community and feeling a part of something, that is actually going to help your immunity.
I really love that statement. Yeah, I feel like the last couple of years, there's been a real pull back into community. It hasn't really necessarily actualized into a lot of humanity yet, but I can feel the pull. And I definitely know that a lot of people don't feel like they're in an area, especially spiritually minded people. I find that a lot of times people say, well, there's just nothing in my area. You know, they feel really stuck in an area where there aren't spiritually minded people. Or maybe they just really don't feel a part of that community or that area, or that they jive with those people. Do you have experience with that? And what do you recommend for people?
I think that if you don't have a community where there's any kind of a yoga or meditation class, which is where I would start, to look online. I mean, there are so many Facebook groups. If you like to walk, there are Facebook groups for people who like to do walk and talks. So you can talk to someone and get to know them as you're both walking. There are Facebook groups for every type of spirituality. And if there's absolutely nothing in your area, you can join communities through Facebook and through Zoom. And I know Michael Beckwith, who's a world famous author, he's actually one of my spiritual mentors. He does live streams with his Agape services every Sunday. That's an amazing community to tap into. So if you're craving community, you can find it online. But if I would encourage people to get out of their comfort zone. If you have anything in person to check out, try to do that first. I know it's uncomfortable, but I feel like everything you want is outside of your comfort zone. And that is, that's why you have a coach like me or Alara. We push you a little bit out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes there's maybe more people around us that have a spiritual mindset or open-minded perhaps than we realize, right? So sometimes when we join these other groups or these other things, we can actually find people who maybe they're not outwardly speaking it, but they, you know, they have those perspectives. And just like you said, when we go out of our comfort zone, that's where we're going to start to find those people and make those connections. Absolutely. Okay. And the next one,
financial, which is, I believe that you should have multiple streams of income. The average one percenter has 7 to 10%. I'm not a one percenter yet, but I do have 4. And I help people create a 6-figure side hustle. So a lot of business coaches out there tell you to quit your job, max out your credit cards, put yourself in a do or die survival situation, which is very masculine, creating from the masculine. I teach people to keep your job because it's making you feel secure. It's paying your rent. It's paying your health insurance, and find your passion and let's turn that into a profit. And the extra time and the extra money you have from your job, even if it's minimal, you can invest that into your side hustle. And you can also put in sweat equity, you know, just put in some time and some hard work and have multiple streams of income. And then when your side hustle makes as much money as your job, you can decide if you want to quit or not. So I really love helping people find their passionate purpose. I even have a guide on my website, RebeccaElizabethWhitman.com. And it is called Find Your Meaningful and Magnetic Purpose Guide if you don't know what your purpose is.
So with that, with regards to, you know, bringing on a side hustle, what do you recommend to people? Because then we start to have filled days, right? And not have a lot of spare time. And so, you know, now we're abundant in the ability to pull in multiple streams of income and also the abundance of finding our purpose. But what do you recommend then for that time management and kind of feeling like they're not overwhelming themselves?
That is a great question. So I believe in focus days and play days. So on your focus days, you're, you know, pedal to the metal, you're focused on your multiple streams of income, and then have a play day. So for me today, this interview is happening on a Friday. Today is my play day. So I played a couple hours of tennis. I walked my dog down a fun shopping street called Abbot Kinney. I'm going to just laze around today and read and drink tea and put around my house. Today's my play day. And if you don't have the luxury of having a play day, have a play half day and do your self-care and do your errands, you know, on one day. And then I'm also a big believer in the Pomodoro method, which is 25 minutes of concentrated effort and a 5-minute total mental health break where you don't do anything. And actually, I use the timer on my phone. So on my focus days, to get through them and to stay focused on my different pursuits, I do the Pomodoro method, and that way I don't get burned out. And I just think of my whole schedule as like a HIIT training class, high intensity interval training. I'll sprint and then I'll break, and I'll sprint and then I'll break. And I try to take, go out of town, at least, even if it's just a local trip where I just drive 1 or 2 hours, at least once a month, if not once a month, you know, once a quarter. But I think going to a different locale, traveling, taking a day trip, taking whatever, however much time you can afford to take off, that also is very rejuvenating. So when you come back to your different businesses, you feel full and you can hit the ground running.
Yeah, those are really great ideas. I really love that. I've never heard of the Pomodoro method, but that's so great to hit it hard and then take a break, step back, right? Mm-hmm. Breathe into your body, pause. I always say that there's three states of our being: passive, active, and neutral. And so that neutral is that pause. And it's so important to include that neutral being into our day. Do you find, since you've engaged in that, that you can come back into the 24 minutes pretty well and high engagement, clear focus?
I do. Yeah. My challenge is to really take the 5 minutes off and not take my phone with me to the bathroom, because I get so engaged in what I'm doing. And there's such an adrenaline rush in getting stuff done that it's like, you know, to really, truly disengage. And like you said, take mindful breaths, stretch, cuddle with your animal. You know, that is definitely my next level. And I teach this stuff because, you know, I am also challenged by this. So yeah, definitely 25 minutes of work is easy for me, but it's the detaching and the pause, the 5 minutes off that I get to work on.
Yeah, because my mind doesn't always stop. You know, my mind oftentimes just keeps going. That's what animals are great for, you know, because you can just, as you said, snuggle, you can play with them, and they can really draw you into the moment with them. And, you know, and it's fun and it's playful, and there's nothing, you know, that they're needing per se. It's all just in the energy of play. And then you can return back. And I love how you say about taking time, you know, to just enjoy yourself, go do other things. All of that is so nurturing for ourselves, right? So incredibly nurturing. And when we really honor that, it makes our time that we are taking action much more profound and powerful, right? Because we've been in the feminine, we've been receiving, we've been nurturing ourselves, and then we get to take that action, and it really comes through much more impactfully. And so you mentioned multiple streams of income. Do you have recommendations of explorations for people on where to start to bring in multiple streams of income for themselves?
Sure. I would ask yourself some very potent questions. Like, what do you love to do? What do people come to you for? Are they constantly coming to you for recipes or romantic advice or, you know, car advice, whatever it is? What do people go to you for advice? What is something that you Google all the time? Like, what are you constantly geeking out on or like listening to podcasts on? Maybe you love to look up like fitness stuff, or maybe you love to look up recipes or stuff about dogs. What did you love to do when you were a little kid? Like, what really lit you up when you were a little kid? And what do you want to be remembered for? When people think of yourself, you know, at your funeral as a soul, like, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? How do you want it, which helps you get into how do you want to impact people? Like, what do you want, really want your legacy to be? And how do you want to serve while you're here? And you can serve in different ways. It doesn't have to be like a rock star, you know, reaching a stadium of 100,000 people. You could just serve having this amazing recipe for, you know, muffins, that you have this little, like, you know, food truck. I mean, whatever lights you up and makes your heart sing, there is a way to monetize it. And that's what I love teaching people to do, how to create a six-figure side hustle from their passion. And life is too short just to have like a dead-end job, work every day, 9 to 5, retire at 65 with a gold watch and a pension plan. You don't want to look back on your life saying, I just waited and then I don't have the energy now. It's too late, or I'm too old. Like, I believe in living life today. Like, do it now. Whatever it is, whatever it is, this is January, whatever it is that you've been saying, oh, I've always wanted to do this kind of a business, or I have this idea or that idea, like, just do it now, because we're not promised tomorrow. And I think we've all seen so many like weird, unexpected people like opting off planet Earth. You know, I love that this is a spiritual show, because I have a really weird philosophy about that. I believe that the vibration is getting so fast, and the energy is getting so fast, that if we don't like really surrender and stay in flow, we're just going to get flipped right off. And that's why people are like dying unexpectedly, because they're in resistance. So doing the spiritual things, meditation, prayer, breath work, yoga, journaling, which we're going to talk about my journal in a second, anything you can do to stay in a calm flow state, then you can create anything you want.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with the vibration. I see it as, you know, I mean, our planet is shifting, and there are going to be some people who stay, and there's going to be some who don't, you know. And for any of the listeners, you know, it's about understanding that death is just a portal, right? It's a transition. Just like when we go through a divorce, or, I mean, even as women, like when our period starts or our period ends, those are all transitions that have very similar vibrations to death. You know, we just see death differently because of those of us who are left behind, so to speak, who remain in physical bodies, and the other spirit evolves past that, right? But I was an animal communicator for many years, so I spoke to so many animals who had crossed over. I got to experience my own dog cross over, and she just showed me so much beauty. And it's such a beautiful, I mean, I cannot express to you, my dog came to me right after we put her down, and then she showed me going back into her, what's her called, her indigo body. And there is so much ecstasy and bliss.
That's my dog.
So like, yeah, that transition is spectacular. Like, I can guarantee you it's a spectacular transition. So as much as possible, not to fear it. And also, great, like, that's going to happen one day, right? It's going to happen to all of us. Yeah. So what can we do while we're here, right? Like Rebecca said, what can you do to live now to really take advantage of this human life that you have here now? Because you don't know. You don't know if you're going to live to another 30 years, if you're going to live 5 years, if you're going to live 10 years. And so, you know, it's like, wear the dress that you want to wear, you know, put on the sexy underwear, right? Do the thing that you want to do. If there's a vision, if there's something calling to you, do it. If you fail, you fail. Like, at least you'll never question whether you did it, you know, whether you tried it, whether you experimented. Go after the man, go after the woman, go after life. I love that that insight from you, Rebecca. I was actually going to ask you, what do you want to leave the audience with? And I feel like you just did. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I went after my childhood dream of being a Hollywood actress, and I didn't, you know, make it big. I'm not famous for acting, but I went for it, and I went for it for 20 years, and I don't have any regrets. I'm like, all right. And now I'm reinventing myself as a coach and a podcaster and an author and thought leader and all the things. But I'm so glad that I had the courage to go for my childhood dream of being an actress. And yeah, so I wanted to tell you guys about this amazing tool that I found. When I was a teenager, I was at a 12-step meeting, and this sweet woman, who I really think is an angel, her name was Janet, she sat me down and she told me, this is how you write in a God journal. And she gave me some life-changing journal prompts. I've been writing in this format every day for 30 years, and it has completely transformed my life from scarcity to abundance, from just loneliness, depression, to just love and connection. It's changed me on a cellular level. I do this as part of my morning ritual. I do it whether I'm traveling, whether I'm sick, I just do it. And it's my biggest tool for spiritual growth. And I'm going to give that as a gift to your listeners. And my promise to you is if you follow the prompts and you do this every day for 10 days, you will have a shift, a miracle, a breakthrough, something is going to shift, because it's a totally different way to frame your reality using these prompts. So I'm going to be wanting to stand by and communicate with you guys to find out what your big breakthrough was. You can find me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. And you can also find me on my website, Rebecca Elizabeth Whitman with the Z.com. And Alara will share the Abundance Journal. It's in my Linktree link.
Yes, yes, yes. That sounds wonderful. And I would love to hear from people what they experience with the 10 days and the guarantee. That sounds really powerful. So absolutely, listeners, reach out to Rebecca, get that journal. Journaling is so wonderful. You know, it's that act of connecting emotionally and through your imagination and your mind, but you're also writing, so you're actualizing as well. So it's a very, very powerful practice to bring into your life. And if you already do it, why not try this new way? And if you're not doing it, why not do it? Why not try something different? So usually when we implement new ways of being, right, new ways of acting, new ways of creating, that we show up differently, and thus we create a different reality. Wonderful, Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation. I loved every minute of it.
And your pup. I know that not all listeners get to see the video, but there was a pup in the background there for a moment. So he or she joined us as well. There they are. Yes.
That's baby Indigo, my black lab.
Oh, okay. That's what you meant, that your dog. Yeah, I actually so named it Indigo. Lab.
So she's just
wonderful.
Very happy.
Well, thank you, Indigo, for joining us and gifting us with your presence. Excellent. So listeners, be sure to reach out to Rebecca, and remember that this is, we're here twice a week. On Tuesdays, we have the solo episode, and on Thursdays, we have the guest episode, and I look forward to seeing you guys next time. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.